Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Lord, thank you for this time. Bless this word. I pray for your anointing and your grace upon this, Lord. I pray, speak to every heart. Speak to me. And we thank you. We love you. And we lean into you, wonderful Jesus. You're holy. You're faithful. You're awesome. And God, we love you more than life. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to continue with this talk that we were starting last week called Blessed. And I'm calling it Blessed because it's taken out of Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. And Jesus, we sang the song. Come on, Patrick. That's so good. That's one of my favorite songs right now. But it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, and we'll read that whole scripture, the whole passage in just a minute, but blessed, 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 you know, it continues to go on. And so I just started thinking about this for my own life, for my family, and I just thought, okay, what does this mean, and what is blessing, and what does blessed mean? And so I started thinking about the word blessing, and we know what that means. It's a gift, or it's the favor of God. It's something from our Father in heaven that is given to us, that's bestowed upon us, given to us, that brings great joy and fulfillment into our lives. Amen. That is the blessing of God. It's rich. It's tangible. It's awesome. And then there's this word that he lists again and again and again called blessed. And blessed in Hebrew and Greek actually means to be happy. Say, be happy. And so, and it also means to be spiritually aligned. So Jesus is telling us how to be happy and how to be spiritually aligned in Matthew chapter 5. And this is the greatest sermon ever preached on the face of the earth, is our Lord and Savior, King Jesus, preaches it, lays it all out there. And this is it. And this is how you can be happy. This is how you can walk in the favor of God. And this is how you could be spiritually aligned. And, you know, I was talking about last week a little bit about the GPS. We all have a GPS on our phone and, or, you know, or the Google Maps or whatever, and you'll be driving somewhere. Anybody ever been driving and you don't know where you're going, so you put on Google Maps and you put your Bluetooth on, and so you're like, you know, tell me where I'm going. And the little voice, I put mine in a British accent just because it sounds fun. So, but I listen to the British person, and they tell me that I'm missing it. Recalculating route. And they keep recalculating because I'm missing. Maybe I'm listening to worship. Maybe I'm not concentrating. And it's trying to redirect me back to the path, back to the road that will get me to my destination. And I felt like the words in red and the preaching of Jesus right here is the recalculating. It's the bringing you back to what really matters. The recalibration. Coming back to the main thing. Because many times, like, we feel like we're walking, I'm going north. No, you're not. You're going south. I'm going east. You're going west. And when we begin to read the words of Jesus, it brings us back to the real thing, an authentic and pure Christianity. And so let's read a few more of these scriptures in Matthew chapter 5. And so it says, and seeing the multitude, he went up on the mountain, Mammoth Mountain, Church on the Mountain. We've got a lot of mountains around here. And he opened his mouth and he said to them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we covered those three last week. If you weren't here, I would encourage you to go over that. It was good stuff. But let's listen in to verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they rival and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Hallelujah. So verse 6, this is what I'm going to just do a couple more today. Verse 6 starts with, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's a good word right there. How many remember the old saying, you are what you eat? Wasn't there a song, you are what you eat from your head to your feet? How's the rest of it go? Anybody? It's an old kids' church song, I think. You are what you eat. And so what are we eating? What are we filling ourselves up on? Because the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you would grow. Who wants to grow? I want to grow. John 4:14, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. And this scripture just came to me. I don't have the reference, but I just was reminded of it, that says in Proverbs, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes. Come on. Taste. You got to taste. In order to taste something, you have to eat it. You have to partake. And what are we filling ourselves up on? You are what you eat. And many times I feel like we don't have hunger. We don't have an appetite for the things of the Spirit because we've been filling up on Facebook. We've been filling up on Instagram and YouTube and all these things. I mean, just look. I don't know. I'm just challenge you. I'm challenging myself too. But look on the settings and see how long you are on your phone every day. And if it's multiple hours, then that's a problem, because multiple hours is what does it do? We're just draining our life, just sucking sucking the good parts of our day away, and we're just glued to a phone. And but he says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This word hunger and thirst, I love the word hunger. I love the word thirst. Those two words have to do with somebody that is alive. A person that is alive is hungry. A person that is alive is thirsty. Those that have gone into eternity are no longer hungry and thirsty on this side of heaven. And so this is a clear sign. Hunger and thirst is a clear sign of life. It's a sign of life. It's an evidence of health. And if we are spiritually dead, we aren't hungry. You know, like I said, I think sometimes we're not hungry. And many times I think in my own life and over the last many, many years, there's been seasons where I wasn't as hungry for the Lord as I was in other seasons. And it was only because I was filling up with the wrong things. And it's like, I love a good potluck in the summer. Oh, come on, barbecue season. I love potlucks and barbecues and beef and tri-tip and... But there's been times when I've gone to some, and there's like different tables. There'll be like a table of potato salad and beans and all this stuff. And I, like the meat table's like hidden. I'm like, that's demonic. Like, get that in the front. But I fill my plate not knowing like what's to come. I fill my plate with mashed potatoes and salad and beans. And I have no room for the thing that my heart is actually wanting. That I'm salivating for. I want tri-tip, but now I have no room for tri-tip. Or it's like, have you ever gone to like the casino buffet? And there's so many lines. There's like, I remember going into a line and I'm filling up with stuff that looks kind of good. It's probably been out for about 12 hours, but whatever, you know, you put it on there and I'm like, this is going to be pretty good. And I get to my table, and then somebody else comes and sits next to me, and they have like pizza and like all kinds of stuff that I didn't even know was there. I'm like, what in the world? You know, this is how we are, I think, a lot of times spiritually. We fill up on the wrong thing. And so that when it comes to our time in the Word, our time in prayer, our time just, you know, in the Spirit with Jesus in church, we feel like we have no capacity because our plate is totally full. And if my plate is full, and it's been full many times, I just need to walk over to the trash can and say, mashed potatoes, you got to go, right? Because I need more room for the Lord in my life. I need more room, and it comes when I begin to make room. We have to make room. Say, make room. Make room. So those who hunger and thirst, verse 6, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Righteousness. Say righteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. That's good. So those who hunger and thirst to be in right standing with God shall be filled. And we're in right standing. We become the righteousness of God because of Christ's death and resurrection and his work. It's a finished work on the cross. But many times we just walk and we just do whatever we want, and we are not in right standing with God because it is active, it's action, it's faith. It's pointing your life, pointing your eyes, your heart towards Jesus. Amen. Right standing with God. This comes by accepting Jesus and the finished work of the cross, but it also comes by living for Jesus, walking with him daily in friendship, in communion. And it's a beautiful thing. And it says, those who are in right standing with God shall be filled with God, filled by God. I love the story when Jesus is at the wedding feast. And remember the story of the wedding? I love that. And you got all these people, and they're partying, and they're having a good old time. And they're probably a little buzzed, you know, right? Because they just drank all the wine. I'm just saying. But and what does Jesus say? He says, let's make some more wine, because we're going to celebrate. And this is not about getting drunk or anything, but I just love what Jesus is saying. He just says, let's make some more wine. But the thing that is so beautiful about this text now is he says, give me those empty jugs. He didn't say, can you go find some jugs that are full of water? Or go find something that's already full. Go find some wine. Or go find something. No, he says, give me that is empty. And I feel like if we are going to come to the Lord and fully get filled, we have to be empty. Empty vessels can get filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he says, pour water into those empty jugs, and then he turns the water into wine, one of the most incredible miracles. And so if we want the new wine, the Holy Spirit, if we want him to be poured out in our life, then we have to be empty and say, Lord, fill me up. Come on.
Yes, amen.
The jugs were empty and they were ready to be filled. Are you empty? Are you ready to be filled today? I'm ready. I'm clearing out whatever needs to be cleared out. My heart is open and ready for a move of God. Come, Lord Jesus, have your way. Do what you want to do. Do what only you can do. You're faithful. You're good. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
So that's the first thing. It's blessed are those who hunger and thirst. I said this last week, but I just thought it's worth repeating. It's the commercial that we've seen probably 1,000 times, but it's that commercial where the old gentleman, he says, stay thirsty, my friends. Right? It's this staying thirsty. Are you hungry and thirsty for the things of God? Are you hungry and thirsty for Jesus himself? Because if you are, the Bible guarantees and promises you will be filled. And so I think more than ever, you know, our culture is just going crazy. The world's going crazy. And we need the church to step up and to be filled and to walk in the power of God, to walk in the love of God, to walk with new wine. We need it. Can anybody attest to that, how crazy our culture is right now? I mean, if you you got men winning women's swimming, like just becoming full-on champions in women's swimming. I'm like, this is but that's a man. that's totally a man. Like, huge, has bigger shoulders than me. Like 6'3" or something. I'm like, that's not fair. It's not right. And the world says, no, we can do that. And then it's like, we want to call men women. And they're putting, you know, tampons and all this stuff in boys' bathrooms in high schools. It's weird. Weird stuff is going on. But then it's like, then all this stuff begins to happen with the Supreme Court. And they're like, no, women's rights. Well, what's a woman? Because you just said that girl swimming is a woman. That dude swimming is a woman. So our world is crazy. Crazy and full of the devil. And so we need spirit-filled Christians to rise up with the love of God and say no. Call evil, evil, and good, good.
Yes, amen.
Right? And so it is time for us to be empty of the world and full of Jesus. Amen. And it says, so blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Say merciful. For they shall obtain mercy. To be merciful is to show forgiveness and compassion. Matthew 6:12. This is when the Lord was speaking of the Lord's Prayer. He says, and the famous line, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Matthew 9:13. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Mercy. Say mercy. Mercy. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's something so beautiful about mercy and forgiveness. Because we don't deserve it. We really don't. And if you've ever been on the other end of mercy, when you knew you just blew it royally, it is such a gift, and it's right from the heart of the Father. And I love this story in Matthew chapter 5. I'll just paraphrase a little bit. Matthew chapter 5, there's this story of the Mark chapter 5, not Matthew. I'll just read a couple parts of it real quick because it's so long. Mark 5. And it's talking about the demon-possessed man that was healed. And there was a man crying out and screaming. And always, night and day, was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Come on. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he goes on, answers. Let's go down to 14. You know the story, Legion. So those who fed swine and they told it to the city and in the country, and they went out to see what had happened. And then Jesus came and saw that the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told how it happened. How the demon fled and went into the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might go with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell the great things that the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." Amen. And he departed and began to proclaim all that Jesus had done, and he marveled. I love that. So go home and tell how the Lord has had compassion. Jesus in this story was modeling what mercy looks like. He was modeling forgiveness. He was modeling redemption and healing and what it could look like for a person that is just out of their mind. And Jesus totally restores him and says, "Now go and tell and do to others what I've done to you," right? This is what mercy is. Mercy is you reap what you sow. And so if we're sowing negativity and a mean spirit and mean words to everybody, you're going to reap that back on yourself. But if you are offering forgiveness and mercy and love to your family, to your spouse, to your children, to those in the community that are just maybe mean as hornets, but you offer love, you offer mercy, it's going to come right back on you. Come on. I think one of the two of the greatest stories in church history that I know of mercy, one would be Elizabeth Elliot. I don't know if you remember her story, but they were amazing missionaries, and they felt the call of God upon their life to go be missionaries. And her husband was brutally murdered by the very people that they felt called to. And so they fled with their lives, you know, Elizabeth and her children. And I remember seeing this, her son preaching in 2006. Her son was preaching alongside the man that killed his father. They preached together. And the thing that was so potent about the story is that Elizabeth Elliot, this mom, this woman who just lost her husband, was brutally killed, goes back to the jungle years later and offers mercy, offers forgiveness to the men who killed her husband. The whole island ends up getting saved. And it was a turning point for this whole tribe. And the main person that was involved, he gets radically saved. He starts preaching the gospel all over the place. And then I saw him, it was at this big event in San Francisco. He's preaching with Elizabeth Elliot's son and talking about mercy. Come on. Mercy. And I think of Corey Ten Boom, one of my most favorite people. And she was radical and such an amazing woman. And if you can go back and watch her videos, there's some incredible videos online, YouTube. There's a wonderful video about well over an hour of Catherine Coleman interviewing Corey Ten Boom. It is phenomenal, and I would highly recommend. But you know, she was alive during World War II and in the concentration camps and just saw the most wretched things. Her family, her dad killed, her family killed, and her sister, who was her best friend, was killed by these Nazi soldiers. And she had so much hatred in her heart, she said. You know the story. She had so much anger and hatred in her heart. And the Lord, over the years, began to heal that. And she began to release them. But then it came this point. It was many, many, many years later. I forget what nation she was in. But she ends up running into the Nazi soldier who had killed her sister. And he asked for forgiveness. And she, at first, like all of a sudden that thing rose up in her again, like, "I don't want to, like, I don't want to forgive you." But then she released him and she blessed him and she forgave him and she got healed. You know, because when we offer mercy, it's not just for that person, it's for us. And so we have to learn the art of letting people off the hook. Let them off the hook because you're killing yourself. You know, I remember as a teenage boy, like I was so mad for this season at my dad, you know, because my mom and dad divorced and he was gone. And I had so much anger in my heart toward my father. But as I got saved, I began to realize something, and I began to study kind of, you know, my family line and looking back over at my dad's dad and my dad's dad's dad and all these people. And I began to see there was just brokenness. And I remember one day in prayer, the Lord spoke to me and he said, your dad couldn't give you what he wasn't given. And he wasn't born again, and so he didn't know how to be a dad, but he was never given the model of a good father. And so just forgive him. And so I offered forgiveness, and I it was one of the most wonderful events in my life. I remember being so mad and as a teenage kid, and I got born again, and the Lord was just doing this awesome work in my life at the Lighthouse and in Church of the Mountain, and I felt the call to go to Bible college. And I remember telling my dad, I'm like, hey, I feel like the Lord wants me to be a missionary, and I'm going to go to Bible college. And he got so mad. And you're just throwing your life away. You know, you're blowing it. And it just made this anger rise up in me. And I was so mad. And so I obeyed the Lord, and I ended up going to Mongolia. And the Lord was doing this great work in my heart, and I would be praying for my dad, and he ended up coming to visit me in Mongolia, and it was just this amazing time, and the Lord just did such a beautiful work, and he watched. He got to see me minister to people, and we got to ride horses and drink horse milk together and do all the fun stuff you do in the middle of nowhere. And so he goes back home, and I'm there for 3 years. And at the end of my 3 years, I called my mom and told her I felt like the Lord said to come back. I called my dad. I said, Dad, I feel like the Lord's calling me back to America. And he said, but why? You're doing so good. He's like, I've never seen you happier in your life. And I've never seen, like, I'm just so proud of you. And I'm so proud of the man that you are. And I was like, where's my dad? You know, what's going on here? You know, it was such a 180. And this is what happens when you offer mercy and you offer forgiveness. The story can get flipped. And once it's like there's pain and there's trauma with your parents or with a spouse or with somebody. But if you will just take the approach of forgiveness and mercy, it can totally flip the script in that story, in that relationship. Amen? Amen. Come on, say, give mercy. And then the last thing, we won't take too much time, and we'll sing a song, and then you could have your nice Mother's Day brunch or lunch. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I've seen that modeled. I mean, just I've seen that modeled beautifully in Church of the Mountain over the years. I've seen people give mercy time and time again when they didn't need to. And so I would just say, take the high road when it's easy to take the road of offense, when it's easy to take the road of anger. What would Jesus do? Literally. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This word pure in Greek, it means to be clean, to be blameless, to be unstained from guilt. It speaks of a purifying that can only come by fire. Say pure. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Hallelujah. Malachi 3:2, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. Come on. A refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. I was doing laundry the other day and I accidentally dumped in way too much soap. But it got clean. My stuff got clean. And it smelled really clean. Like, whoa, this is really potent. But this is what the Lord does. He wants to purify us. He wants to wash our minds and our hearts. And for the pure in heart, the clean, the blameless, the unstained from guilt and all the stuff of the world shall see the Lord. And being pure in heart is a singleness of heart. It's a singleness of mind. It's when we come to this place where there's no hypocrisy, no double-minded, and we begin to live authentic. And this is what I've craved since I've been born again. I've craved and I've longed for authentic and, if you will, organic Christianity. And I feel like it's a cry in every believer's heart.
Yes.
And we bump into it from time to time and we say, oh, this is it. This is what it's all about. And then sometimes you bump into church politics and you bump into people's attitudes and you're like, I don't want that. And then you bump into the real again. You're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know? And I've bumped into it so many times that I'm longing for it to be 24/7. And in my own life and in the church at large, I just want to see all of us be pure in heart. And it's not striving for perfection, and it's not striving for living a sinless life. If I can get all my stuff together, if I could just stop doing that thing, then I'll be pure in heart. No. Being pure in heart is about transparency. Being pure in heart is about being real with your stuff and coming before a good, good Father. Love that song. And it's about being authentic. Say authentic. Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Let's talk about purity. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:22. I love this verse. It says, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord from a pure heart. Let's talk about purity. Flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. There's this, see, I think the youthful passions and the youthful lust rip us away from being pure in heart. And he's not in Paul's not talking about pornography to young Timothy. That's not what that's referring to as youthful lust. It's talking about hungry for position. Let's talk about pride. The things that often trip us up in our younger years, if they are left unchecked, they will trip us up in our older years. And so he's speaking to him. He's saying, flee the youthful lust, the things that used to trip you up so easily, and the anger and the rage and the offense, that trips you up as a young person, right? And it's puffing your chest up. Oh, you can't talk to me like that. But then you say that to a person that's been seasoned in the Lord or a grandpa, you know, they're like, whatever, you know. I don't have time for that, you know. Don't allow the youthful lust to trip you up, because it totally sucks you out of this next part. They will see God. I think of the great story in 2 Samuel. This is the story of David, and it says, and it happened, I'll just read the verse and then we'll go back on it a little bit. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and he was walking on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And that woman was very beautiful. Oh, David. And if you read 2 Samuel chapter 11, the way it starts is it says this. It was the time and the season when kings went to war. It was the time and the season when kings went to war. And David at this point in his life was not some old guy. He was a warrior. He was a king. He should have been with his men. And he made a decision. I'm just going to sit on my couch. I'm going to fill my mind with YouTube. I'm going to fill my mind with, you know, the YouTube of the day, which is, I guess, staring off on your balcony looking at who's bathing. That's not good stuff. And he begins to fill his mind with all these things. And then he falls into all kinds of craziness. And his life, like, you know, he has a man killed. He covers it up. It's just one thing after the next. It was like it's a country song, right? So his whole life starts falling apart. But the thing about David, even through all of this, and you would think like God would be like, all right, David, you're done. Let's get a new king in there. I'm sorry I ever put you in place. But there was something so special about David. Even through his mess ups, even through his failures, the Lord says, there's a man after my heart. And he said that after Bathsheba had taken place. Because we see in Psalm 51 that David has this moment where he fully repents and he comes back to the saving grace of God. And his life is changed again. And generations after him are blessed because he calls on the name of the Lord again. And he repents for his sin. And he comes back to that purity in heart. What does David say? Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew in me a steadfast spirit. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Lord, I filled myself up with all these things. I filled myself up with so much cares of the world, with news, with Fox News and with this news and with all the stuff and with Facebook and Instagram. I filled my heart. And I just want to remove all that stuff because I want you. Cast me not from your presence, O Lord. I just love that verse. Worship team, you can come up. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. At the end of my life, I want to be like Moses. I don't want to lead 2 million people out of Egypt, but at the end of his life, what was Moses known for? He was known as a friend of God. And I just want to be known as a friend of the Lord. And I want my ear and my heart and my spirit to be tuned in to what God is saying, to what God is doing. And I don't want to be so consumed with what everybody else thinks about me that I don't hear what God thinks about me. Hallelujah. And so this is the time and the hour where we need the church to be purified by fire. Think about You heard that wonderful sermon a couple weeks ago by Richard and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and being in the fire. And there was something so unique and powerful about that. And, you know, we just celebrated, we didn't celebrate, it's more of a joke. May the 4th, May the Star Wars Day, right? Anybody? May the 4th be with you. And, you know, I usually just send a couple memes to a few people and we just laugh and this Star Wars, whatever. But I saw this one and it was just way better. And it had to do with that story from Daniel. And it has the three young Hebrew boys and they're standing in a fire and there is the fourth one. And the fourth is in the fire with them. And it says on the bottom, may the fourth always be with you. And there's something about going through the fire when you know you're with Jesus, you're going to be okay. And there's been this crazy process and this crazy season that we've been thrust into for 2 years. For 2 years, we've been in a warfare mode. We've been in the fire. The church has been in the fire. Our culture has been in the fire. But I just want to say Jesus is in the fire with us. And there's a purifying that's happening. And the only thing that is being burned are the ropes that the enemy tried to tie you. The only thing that is consuming are the lies of the enemy. And what's happening to us, there's a purifying process. Jesus is saying, I will be with you in storms. I will be with you in life. I will be with you in death. I will be with you in every season of your life. But you have to look to me. See, Jesus is talking to some new disciples in Matthew chapter 5. This isn't like people that have been saved for decades. This is people that have been saved for weeks. He just gathered the fishermen. Hey, come on. Oh, but I still smell like fish, Lord. I haven't even got to change my clothes. I'm still carrying a net. So no. You've got to hear this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. He's laying the foundation for a good and successful Christian life. This is the recipe for success. This is the recipe for spiritual alignment. If you want to be happy, then obey the words in red. Amen. And then he says, and we read this last week, but it goes along with the song that Patrick sang. Matthew chapter 6. The disciples are worried. They're worried about what they're going to eat. They're worried about what they're going to drink. They're worried about the clothes. They're worried about all the stuff that we worry about and that we all worry about as husbands, as mothers, as dads, as people, we worry. And Jesus says, do not worry. Don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. I will be with you. And seek first the kingdom of God. Verse 33, chapter 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble. Come on. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, we just thank you right now that you're here. And we thank you, Lord, if there's been any place in our life and in our heart where we've been drifting, I thank you, Lord, that still small voice, we're listening, we can hear right now. Some of you, I just feel like it means getting out of a relationship. And the Lord's saying, turn left, turn left, turn left. There's different things. But I feel like the Lord is whispering. He's telling us. It's that still small voice right now. It's coming back to the things of the kingdom. Coming back to his heart. And so, Lord, we just say, God, we will seek you. We want to be those that are pure at heart. We want to be those that offer mercy. We hunger and thirst for righteousness, God. We make a decision and a choice today to be in right standing with you. We love you, Lord. We honor you. We bless you with all of our hearts. Come on, can you just stand to your feet? Let's just bless the Lord today. Let's worship him. Let's just make that commitment. It's a daily commitment, a weekly commitment. Just like, God, I set my eyes on you. Set my heart on you. This is the cry of many mothers' homes. This is the cry of many wives' homes. Oh, Lord, would you set my husband's heart on fire? Lord, would you do a work in my children? I thank God for the praying mamas that have literally changed history. And you need to thank God that you had a praying mom and a praying wife in your story. But right now, if you're that individual, why don't you just begin to respond and become the answer to your grandmother's prayer. Become the answer to your wife's prayer, your mom's prayer. And begin to seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Hallelujah. Let's worship him.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My wall, defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall. You're the one that guides my heart. Yeah, Lord, I need you.
So teach.
So teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope. Teach my soul to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my I need you. deepens my righteousness, O God, how I need
Jesus. We just say collectively as a body, we need you. We're desperate for you, Lord. We don't want to act like we have it all figured out. God, today, in this moment, right now, we need you. We need you more than yesterday. We're desperate for you today, Jesus. We love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. I just pray, God, just encounter people with your love today. Let fresh commitments come in Jesus' name. Fresh commitments to King Jesus today. Fresh commitments to King Jesus today. Just give him your heart, give him your life, give him your all, because he's worthy of it. He will protect you. He will be with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So God, thank you. Bless this day. Bless the mothers. Bless every family represented here. Lord, bless all those in this valley that are mourning. Many different families are mourning loss of loved ones. And so God, we ask that you would comfort those who mourn. Just pray a blessing and a hedge of protection over our church family, over our friends, over this community, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody that agreed said, amen. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Have a beautiful day. Hug some moms today. Tell them how thankful you are for them. God bless you. Have a beautiful Sunday. We'll see you next week.